Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Top Cow Thursday episode, and I'm continuing the chronology with Devil's Reign Chapter 3. For those not familiar with the chronology, real quick rundown. I always say real quick rundown, and then I end up talking about it for 5 minutes, but basically I always wanted to read the Top Cow Artifact Universe. Huge Michael Turner fan. I had this giant Witchblade omnibus for many years. I never looked through, and so I jumped online, I looked for a chronology, and I actually stumbled across a reading order that wasn't in the order that the issues were published, but it was actually a chronological order. So the first issues in the chronology took place in ancient Egypt, for example, and it moved forward through time. So that chronology, I should give credit where credit is due, is from a user named Condor on the Comic Vine websites. There's a link in the show notes if you want to go and check it out. So kudos to him for picking it up and creating that timeline. Also, I encourage you to go and check it out, because if you want to follow along with the Top Cow chronology, if these are books you've never read, that's exactly what I'm using. So you'll know what books I'm looking to read next. A lot of the Top Cow stuff is available digitally. A lot of the classic stuff, you know, Witchblade, Darkness, that kind of stuff, Magdalena is available in trade. Some of the stuff is licensed, like the Tomb Raider stuff may be a little harder to find. But specifically this Devil Reign stuff that I'm talking about right now, which is a crossover between publishers, between Marvel Comics and Top Cow, it wasn't quite the gangbuster event that they hoped it would be. And a lot of these you can find in like quarter bins, 50-cent bins, dollar bins. They're not hard comics to find at all. And then eBay is always an option as well. So if you've ever wanted to check out the Top Cow Artifact Universe, this is the place. If you're curious about Witchblade or the Darkness or any of that stuff, you've definitely come to the right place. So let's go ahead and dive into the issue for this episode. It's Devil's Reign Chapter 3, Ghost Rider and Ballistic, from February of 1996, and the creative team, this issue is actually written by Warren Ellis. Yeah, that Warren Ellis. Pencils are by Billy Tan, inks are by D-Tron, colors are by Richard Eisenhoff, Tyson Wengler, and Greg Hammond, and we've got letters from Dennis Heisler. So this one starts off, and we see a couple of human-demon hybrids. We kind of got introduced to these last issue, where Mephisto was taking some of the regular citizenry of the Top Cow universe and turning them into his minions. And maybe I should recap the story so far before I dive in. Currently in the Marvel universe during this time, Mephisto had abdicated his throne to his son, Blackheart, who some of you may remember from that Ghost Rider movie back in the mid-2000s. And so Ghost Rider, Mephisto was looking for a new place, a new dimension to corrupt, so to speak. And he basically tricks Silver Surfer into unleashing some cosmic power that allows him to repair a ship that has dimension hopping capabilities that was left behind on Earth in wreckage, basically. But again, with the power cosmic trapped from Silver Surfer, Mephisto is able to repair the ship and uses it to head over to the Top Cow universe, where there is no hell. And he's basically trying to turn the Top Cow universe, kind of mold it in his image, so he can have the souls that die in that universe. And so Eternity takes it upon himself to summon Mephisto's mortal enemy, Ghost Rider, and sends him over to the Top Cow universe to try to stop Mephisto's plan. So as I mentioned, the issue opens up with two of these human-demon hybrids talking about what's been going on and how Mephisto's going to be able to have all the souls in the world. Right now, they're not used for anything, but they could be like cash or energy. And Mephisto basically has unleashed them and says, just kill everyone you see, right? Mephisto's now gathering the souls of anyone who dies in the Top Cow universe. So just, you know, get out there and kill as many people as you can. And then one of the people in the cab notices what he calls a comet in the tunnel, but we know upon a closer look, it's actually Ghost Rider riding on the side of the tunnel on his bike of Hellfire, and he actually has a passenger with him. It's Ballistic from the Top Cow universe. So she is the sister of Velocity, a member of Cyberforce. She's not a member of Cyberforce herself, but her special ability, well, she does have a bionic arm, which has strength beyond what a normal flesh and blood arm would have. And she also has the uncanny ability to hit anything she wants with her guns. Thus the nickname Ballistic. She is a crack shot. Think of like a female version of Bullseye from the Daredevil books. And she's not quite as psychotic as Bullseye, but she's certainly rough around the edges, like Bullseye. And so as we turn the page, we're actually looking at earlier in the evening. And she's in a bar, and she basically was getting hit on by the guys in the bar and wanted to be left alone, so she kind of knocked them out. And as these guys are knocked out, they're taken over and possessed by Mephisto as well and turned into demons. So Ballistic ends up having to defend herself with her weapons. Unfortunately, the bullets don't have as great of an effect on them as she would like, because basically they're undead at this point. And she does manage to fight them off for the most part, and uses a weapon. I'm not quite sure what it is. It looks like, like some kind of an alien ray gun. And she cuts most of these demon hybrids in half, but there's still a few that are on their feet, and one grabs her from behind. And she may not necessarily be in trouble. She may be able to get out of it herself, but she doesn't have to, because we see Ghost Rider's chain come flying through and basically crush the guy's skull. And he tells her that your friends in Cyberforce express concerns for your safety, and they thought you would be loitering in some degenerate sinkhole, and you were probably ignorant of the danger here, but I chose to ride into this New York, and finding you was not that difficult. And right away, Ballistic picks up on this New York, and he says, yes, I'm from what is termed an alternate Earth. This is not my New York. And Ballistic's like, I don't believe that. Ghost Rider says, I do not lie. And Ballistic says, there's no way you came into town just to look for me. You don't look like the type. You know, there's not a lot of people that ride around with their heads on fire. And Ghost Rider says, the creature that is behind this, his name is Mephisto. He's caused a lot of suffering and murder. There's going to be vengeance, my vengeance. And again, Ballistic's not too impressed. She pulls a cigarette out, lights it off of Ghost Rider's flaming skull, and says, you know what? Let's get some altitude and see what you're talking about. So she hops on the back of the bike, and they drive downtown. They're on top of a building, which Ghost Rider just drove his bike up. And Ballistic says, you know, when I said altitude, I thought climb a flight of stairs, go up to the top of a building. I didn't mean to literally ride up the side of the building, but whatever. And they do see that a lot of the city is in flames. There's a lot of smoke. And Ballistic's, you know, there's something pretty weird going on in Times Square. Why don't we head over there? And so they do agree to team up and find out what's going on over there. And when they drive to Times Square, they find it overrun with these human demon hybrids. They're just out killing indiscriminately, because again, it's all about just getting as many souls to Mephisto as possible. So as they're taking out a lot of the human demon hybrids, Mephisto himself shows up, at least a giant fiery flame created head of his, and attempts to swallow Ghost Rider. So they Ghost Rider and Ballistic beat a hasty retreat, and they chase after some other human demon hybrids that are in cabs that are trying to leave Manhattan and go and kill indiscriminately in some of the other boroughs of New York. And so Ballistic and Ghost Rider see them doing that and head for the tunnel. And so this is the scene that we saw that opens the book, where Ghost Rider and Ballistic are literally riding on the side of the tunnel. They shoot up cars that these human demon hybrids are in and prevent them from leaving Manhattan. So at least they're able to sort of isolate what's going on and keep it kind of contained in Manhattan. But they do worry that more demons will come, basically. You know, they've only solved part of the problem, and even the ones that they whose cars they, you know, shot up right now could walk through the end of the tunnel. So what Ballistic does is she ends up firing at the gas tanks of the wrecked cars and causes a giant explosion, which collapses the end of the tunnel and hopefully keeps it contained for now. So there's not a lot of forward momentum in the story. We don't even really get to see what Mephisto is up to. It's sort of all action, but more of the popcorn action, with not a lot of story and dialogue going on. And we do see at the end kind of a tease for the next issue, though, in a skyscraper. And again, this is very strange because we are in the Top Cow universe, but in a skyscraper looking down from above at the tunnel where the smoke is billowing out, we see a figure in shadow. And he seems to have three claws popping out of his wrist, and they seem to be bony looking claws. And it says to be continued. So every aspect of that silhouette certainly makes it seem like it's going to be Wolverine. So I expect the next crossover to be something with Wolverine. So being that this was Warren Ellis, it's not that I expected more, because as I said this when I talked about, I think, the first issue of the crossover, how this story is very much of the 90s. You know, it's a lot of splash pages, gorgeous art from Billy Tan. I mean, absolutely beautiful art by Billy Tan. The three guys on colors do a great job. D-Tron on inks, who is such a meticulous inker, and you kind of have to be, because, you know, he inked Michael Turner a lot. So he does a great job of showing those fine details. So great art team. And so you do want to showcase what they can do, but what that leads to is a relatively short story, a relatively short read. And again, this doesn't advance the story much, right? Like, we learn that Mephisto's infecting, you know, a lot of people in Manhattan. And as those people go and indiscriminately kill others, Mephisto gets the souls and their bodies are resurrected as more soldiers in Mephisto's army. We kind of already knew all that was going on. This was just to introduce Ballistic, I guess. It just didn't advance the story a lot, right? I mean, I think the series is only 9 issues maybe. So we think they would pack a little more story. But then again, as I said, it is somewhat of its time. It is a 90s comic. It is a 90s event. And so it's going to be kind of visuals first and plot second, unfortunately. And you got to remember, Ghost Rider was super popular at this time. Mid-90s, yeah, they were all over Ghost Rider. He was selling books left and right. In fact, I'm surprised Marvel never had two Ghost Rider books. But they did bring out Midnight Suns and some other stuff. So I guess, you know, Johnny Blaze got a book again and such. So maybe that's how they answered that. But, you know, The heroes that cross over here, Silver Surfer, pretty popular at this time, having been finally released from Earth, Punisher, Ghost Rider, and of course Wolverine as the ever popular Wolverine, and really before Deadpool took off. So these were the guys. In fact, there was also, you could pretty much set your watch by crossovers where, you know, these characters would show up in other people's books, or they'd cross over with each other. You know, I remember, you know, like Wolverine Punisher and Ghost Rider Spider-Man and Ghost Rider Wolverine and Punisher Wolverine. Like, all that stuff was all around this time. Constant crossovers, constant exploitation of their really popular characters. So it's not a surprise that, you know, I've done three of these Devil's Reign issues so far, three of the crossovers, and Ghost Rider's been in two of them, Silver Surfer in the other. So, you know, you got to kind of take it with a grain of salt. I feel like it is fun. It is a fun issue. I think the first issue, you know, you had to set things up, and it just wasn't, you know, it was written by Walter Simonson. He had Silver Surfer speaking with this really flowery language, and I don't know, it just didn't work that well for me. I think the last issue with Ghost Rider and Psyblade was better than the first, and I think this has been the best one so far. Because again, you just have to take it for what it is. It's not groundbreaking storytelling by Warren Ellis here, and it's certainly not going to compare to something really thought provoking and interesting that he's capable of doing, like his Moon Knight series or his current The Wildstorm series, which is absolutely incredible. But this is a lot of fun. This is definitely, you know, big action popcorn movie kind of no brainer comics that has incredible art. So I think if I were to pick up, I have a lot of these issues, just because, as I've said, I've come across them over the years and pulled them out mostly for the art. And I doubt I've paid more than $1 for any of them. I may even have the whole event at this point. I'm not sure. I'd have to go diving into long boxes to look, but, this has definitely been my favorite so far of the three. And even though I've had these issues, I don't know that I've ever read any of this event before. So I'm enjoying it so far. But again, you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt because it is very much of its time. So that's going to do it for this episode. Thanks for joining me, everybody. Please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on iTunes. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, please check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. And just a reminder, as this is coming out, it is the first day of New York Comic Con. I am there as we speak. If you're going to be at New York Comic Con any of the days, Thursday through Sunday, please let me know. I always love to meet up with listeners and chat about comics and take some pictures, and I'll even hook you up with a free Comic Source lanyard or two. So once again, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.